The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics.
Well, howdy there, patriots and socialist distancers. It's time for your weekly dose of Red Pill Politics. Hello and howdy to everybody. I hope everyone's doing well out there. Got another nice spring day here. The sun's out nice and bright. Not too many chemtrails out there. I heard the frogs were starting to chirp and do their little mating choruses just the other day with all the rain we had. So things are starting to come to life. Some budding on the trees and shrubs. I'm going to have such a bad case of spring fever this year. I can feel it. But yeah, good stuff. Hope everyone's doing well. I see that you survived the verbal assault known as the State of the Union address this week. We're going to talk about that. I got a few notes about the goings on here with the Bidenista regime. I'm going to do a little update on their shenanigans. Check in with some callers. Going to be open phone lines again this week. And here we are, March 10th already. And got some pretty interesting developments going on. I made a prediction. I couldn't figure out exactly where the first systemic civil unrest was likely to break out. There's a few culprits out there, and we all have heard about them in the news in the last few years. But I finally have settled on New York. I think New York is going to be the first city, the first blue city, to slide into civil unrest. And I got a few reasons for thinking that. And we're going to talk about that today. Lots going on in New York. And, you know, I've often told you folks that at least the circles I run in, people know the writing's on the wall. All right. Tougher times are ahead. All right. That utopian worldview that many people have clutched onto for so long, you know, they're being forced to let that go and deal with reality. The reality of the situation is that, you know, this nation is in decline. Our dollar is in free fall. Our resources are being cut off by the very people that have sworn an oath to protect our rights, the Constitution, commerce. And they're the ones that are instituting it, and people are getting angry, and I'm just not sure how this is all going to play out. Your guess is as good as mine. I share observations with you. I try to tease opinions and observations from people and engage them in discussions here so that we are prepared. But one of the things that I highly recommend that you consider doing, if you haven't already, is establish some triggers. And I mentioned this before on the show, and, you know, not by accident, that I repeat it over and over again because I think it's critically important that we have some triggers in our mind. And these are discussed in great detail with our family and those that are associated with our plans for survival and stability when things do go sideways. One of them is you know, when a city as a whole goes into turmoil, when rioting begins, when a state of emergency is declared, for example, or widespread, and I mean like statewide and regional, within entire regions of a country where power outages are happening, any type of an attack on multiples of gas stations and fuel-related places, substations and things, you know, if certain triggers like that fall into place, automatically everyone, no matter where they are, you know, we've gone into orange alert here. That means I got to tank up my vehicle, meet my family at the designated meeting spot, go to the secondary spot if that primary spot's not available. Whatever plans you have plans, something in place. Have some triggers that you've thought out. And that they could be, like I said, anything related to power and gasoline, energy, you know, your access to be able to fill your tank and be mobile. All right. It just whether the power is on. Every flicker of the light doesn't mean, you know, panic. But if an entire region, you know, multiple states are affected, and there's no, you know, storms or hurricanes or any ice storms or anything like that to account for it, you're going to wonder what's going on. So have some triggers in place. Right now, there's a bunch of them. If I lived in New York City, I would be, you know, in yellow alert right about now. Things are going to go sideways even more so than they are. And you can see the desperation in the Bidenista regime as they try to hold it together. Right? And there's a, like I said, I got a page full of notes here just on what's going on in New York. All right, and don't feel all warm and comfy, you know, those of you that are in other parts of the country saying, oh, good, well, that's only New York. You know, they're just a symptom of what's festering in your neighborhood. I promise you that. So, yes, they're actually right now currently in New York at street corners randomly out there. The gangs are selling to the illegals, and I'm not going to call them migrants because they're not migrating. They have no intention of acclimating. Okay, they're surging here like they were instructed by the head of the Bidenista regime. They've surged, all right. They're here by the millions. And they're coming with new, you know, they got newer clothes than I do. Wearing brand new sneakers. Given cash cards or stuff full of your tax dollars. Given nice places to stay. In fact, if they got to kick out homeless veterans to give them a nice place to stay, they do. Yes, your government loves you so darn much that they're going to make sure that our new migrant visitors are given the golden service here. So, yes, they're selling fake credentials, fake IDs, fake green cards, and selling them right on, like a hot dog vendor on the streets of New York. They're being photographed and videotaped, and, you know, no one's doing anything about it. You would think that the first a hearing that this was taking place, that law enforcement would go out and arrest them. This is a blatant violation of the law, and you are under arrest. But, you know, no, they're not. They're everywhere. Like I said, like street vendors for credentials. And you know, at the same time, you know, and where do the, you know, who are they partnering up with? Not just the gangs. Oh, hell no. Actually, law enforcement and the Department of Homeless Services has recently got their little titty in the ringer and got caught in an over $1 million identity theft scam. Do you think maybe they're partnered up with these gangs? You know, to steal the identities, and then they got another group that puts together fake IDs and, you know, puts them into ID form and sells them to illegals. Well, yeah, I guess that's what they mean by public-private partnerships, right? Is that what they mean? Oh, I guess they do. So, yeah, that's going on. Brazenly, right in the light of day. And what do you think these illegals are going to do with these new IDs? Well, will they be getting jobs? Maybe, but I kind of doubt it because they get so much stuff for free. But might they be registering to vote, getting driver's licenses, things like that? Because with those fake IDs, you can get what are legitimate government-issued IDs. Before you know it, you're driving, maybe school buses or cabs or who knows what. Maybe you get a job in law enforcement, because that's happening all over. And they're chasing the real law enforcement out. And then when they got these great big vacuums and crime surges somewhere, what do they do? Oh, you go over and offer these jobs to the illegals. What a complete slap in the face that is. Imagine being pulled over by an illegal alien wearing a uniform and shake you down, right, for violating the law, treat you punitively. Oh, man, it's happening. It's happening. Absolutely disgusting. I don't know. And so much more. We've all watched is New York, the Big Apple, right? The Big Apple. Now, the old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, that's New York. At one point, it was that sparkling place that the whole world knew about. It was an economic center. You know, it was a center for arts and all kinds of things. It was the Big Apple. And all the pictures of this grand, beautiful city, you know, that was etched into people's minds over the years is not what you have today. Your Big Apple's got worms in it. Businesses, good working families, people are fleeing New York right now. And have been. It's been a trend of heading out, just like Massachusetts. Begging, they're begging. Comrade Healy and her minions begging people, oh, the tourism is great. Come to Massachusetts. Come live here. Oh, yeah, our schools are great, they say. Oh, geez, little indoctrination camps. New York's no different. People just now are in with what happened to Trump. Love him or hate him, you know, to heck with, you know, whatever, however you feel personally to him. When you look and how corrupt the judicial system was in the handling of that case. Can you imagine being another developer in New York, quietly like a fly on the wall, just sitting back and watching that play out? Oh, man. It did not go unnoticed because they're leaving. Yeah, these projects, things that they had online, are off the table now. They're going to other parts of the country, other countries, to do business. And when anyone tries to fight back, what was the reaction to Hochul when, you know, after everything that went on with Letitia James, who is she's in my notes too, an absolute monster. I mean, this is far from the first time where Marxist used black people, and they seem to be, I mean, that's their MO right now. Letitia James, Big Fannie Willis, give me a break. These are the types of people that they put forward so that if you try to oppose them, it's the same way the Marxists use children, and they put them out there with their message, is that you're the bad guy. How can you be against a child who just wants, you know, to stop climate change? How dare you be against the opinion of a black woman Are you a racist or a misogynist? Or a misogynist racist? There's got to be one or the other, some kind of a white Christian extremist of some sort, for certain, right? You can't disagree with them. So they put them forward. It's their little shield. You know, yeah, they're going to go up there. They're going to do their bidding, do their dirty work. When they get caught, they're expected just to fall on their sword. They disassociate then. There's, oh, yeah, well, you know, there's always a bad egg in the bunch, right? And that's one of them, you know. But, these people at this point have lost so much credibility. I struggle sometimes. I'd love to just shut them up and make them go away. But I think it's a necessary evil for them to come out and be so vile, be so aggressive, be the pathetic little liars that they are, and lie with impunity. As if it doesn't matter if they're caught, who cares? I'm just going to do what I want anyways. And what's happened is it is currently, as we speak, in the process of backfiring on them. If you go and look and spend any time evaluating what the black community is saying right now, the Hispanic community, you know, they're not stupid. You know, they may be as susceptible to government propaganda and you know, prostitute lies as any of us. You know, we've all fallen for this stuff, right? They're not stupid. These are the people that have sat here, watched these politicians go into their hood every election cycle, promise them the moon, give them nothing. Oh, things will get better. Just vote for me and things will get better. The other side, no matter what, is racist. All right? And you know, I'm no... those of you who listened to me before, you know I'm no cheerleader for the GOP because they're pretty much impotent when they're not complicit. So, you know, no love lost there. But they are sick and damn tired of being lied to by the progressive Democrats. And it is currently backfiring. They're now looking at Trump saying, yeah, you know what? It may not be perfect, but, you know, you go with the evil you know, right? Because he pretty much has no filters. He just says whatever's on his mind, good, bad, or indifferent. But they're sick and tired of being lied to by progressives. Letitia James, she's there this last week at a ceremony, and she got booed. She got booed by a fire department. It was actually a ceremony including a New York fire department. Oh, and they booed the hell out of her, and there were Trump chants and all kinds of things going on because of exactly what they did to that man. It made no entity, nothing. It did nothing for New York. It weakened New York. But you know they're seeing right through it. She got booed, and what's the result now? Well, Tish James comes out and says, you know, we want to know who you are. And without a doubt, the union thugs and their comrades supported Letitia James. They didn't support the country. They didn't support the patriots. They protect the system. Now they expect these firemen to just come forward so that they don't have to, and I'm doing my little air quotes here, hunt them down. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. What else is this vile woman doing? And also Hochul, Governor Hochul? When the country got looked in and saw what New York was doing here with Trump, the whole world saw this. Not just the firefighters. The whole world saw it. And going back a couple of weeks now, you'll recall that a boycott of New York began. The trucker said, you know what, if I can take a load anywhere else, I'm going to. Screw you guys. You've turned on your countrymen. You've turned on your country. You turned on your constituents. You turned on the Constitution. And I will not nourish and feed and support that. Let it wilt. Let the rotten fruit rot off the vine. So they stopped taking loads in there just to show America's watching. Why would you want to keep them well-funded and fuel this tyranny? He said no. And what is Hochul doing? She's now thinking she's going to threaten the truckers. This is not going to work out just brilliantly, huh? Oh, geez. Yep. You're going to go for hate crime. Hate crime. He's nasty communist. I'm telling you what, folks. There's never been a better time to just stand up and give them the finger. All right, there's not a lot to debate here. That's the good part about this, is either you want to be a communist or you don't. If you prefer to be a free constitutional republic, just say so. Stand up, give them the finger, and say no. You know what, Governor Hochul? Maybe you just seen the tip of the iceberg. You go ahead and you threaten those truckers. You go ahead and start threatening the food supply. That's what James is doing, Letitia James, talking about going after meat packers in the agricultural industry for lying about the effects of climate change. Yeah, good. Go right ahead, both of you nitwits. You keep right on doing that. I view this as flicking matches into the powder shed. When the farmers look around the world, say, "Oh, geez, you know, what do we do? What are the farmers in other nations doing?" Well, they're standing on their 2 feet. Fueling up their tractors and hitting the damn road. They're about ready to start stacking them vertically because the streets are full. They're rolling into capitals, dumping truckload after truckload of manure on their front doorstep. They're dropping their buckets, moving barricades, and coming into the cities and making themselves heard. Stopping the tyrannical machine from moving. That's what they're doing. So, yeah, you keep flicking matches in that powder shed. Go after the truckers and the farmers. Keep jabbing them with a sharp stick, thinking that your threats are going to sustain forever. You know what? That day is coming, folks. And this is my I don't know how else to assert this with the greatest sense of urgency, is that when they do stand, you stand with them. You stand with them. You provide the support and everything they need for the longevity of the haul when those trucks line up, when those tractors line up. When they shut down the nonsense and bring focus to the issues of the day, you stand with them. Like I said with COVID, and they come out and start threatening to shut business down again. I said this over and over and over again, because we had opportunity once they took their little jackboots off your throat and said, oh, you're free to go shopping now. Oh, you're free to go, to funerals and bury your relatives now. Okay, when they did that, you scared little lemmings, oh, good, government let me go. Okay, it's like a cat playing with a mouse. They just let you go so they can catch you again. Well, this time, I suggested when they let you loose and your fearful little business owners open their doors again? Did you go in and you tell them, you warn them, don't you ever do that again? Don't turn on your community. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't let down your family. You leave those doors open. Government has no legitimate constitutional authority to do any of what they did. And then when they stay open, just like a line of tractors or a line of trucks, when that local little general store that you get your gas and get your coffee in the morning, when that store owner is brave enough to open the doors, you be brave enough to stand with them. You know what Board of Health agent is not going to shut down a little gas station? There's a gas station with, you know, 200-300 people around it saying no. Go home, behave yourself. That's what should be happening. You know, they don't put their jackboots on your throat when there is a million people around you. Oh, you've got all the power. Everyone up to now, they're just scared. They're scared. Government's been threatening its people for a long damn time. And you know, I guess why change your... Why go to Plan B when Plan A works so well? Just scare them a little bit. We'll have some new crisis, or our partners in the mainstream media prostitutes, they'll help us repeat it over and over and over and over again. Till you're, you know, the right level of scared. Unfreaking believable. Right? Government is supposed to fear the people. That's when they behave. We got it backwards again. I don't know. Phone lines are open. 512-248-8252 is the number. We're going to be looking more at New York, what the tyrants there are doing. I got some more notes. I'm not done yet because it is in free fall. All right. I believe the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And what was this big, grand, sparkling city for the whole world to admire is now a socialist cesspool for the whole world to see. Unbelievable. We'll be right back after these few short messages. This is Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Shadow hands run democracy. The edges speak of a lie, shrouded in secrets and mysteries. Bloodlines of history, they sit at the top, counting all the gold they have robbed common men. They put their puppets in. Some kind of dark fantasy. Can man's mind be so cruel? Are we all that hard to fool? Bloodlines of history, they sit at the top, counting all the gold they have robbed common men. They put their puppets.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because of the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Red Pill Politics. It is March 10th already. I want to welcome you back. If you haven't already, please do point your browser over to republicbroadcasting.org. Save them in your favorites. Check out all the other programs. There's great stuff there 7 days a week. There is live, unique programming there for your viewing and listening pleasure. So please do stop over, find a couple of shows you like, share the links around, leave a comment, load up your thumb drive and listen to the shows, get caught up at work or play or wherever you are, and do hit that donation button. We greatly appreciate every donation, large and small. And, you know, you're listening to me now because of people like you that donate. All right. That's the fact of the matter. We are listener funded. We don't get any money from the corporate fat cats who dictate what you can and cannot talk about. So I can talk about Agenda 21, the scourge of Agenda 21, 2030. 2050. Remember that? America2050.org, that website, kind of an international effort, a program of public-private partnerships from around the world who carved up the entire globe, including the United States, into super regions, and all for the purpose of instituting what we're seeing now in 15-minute cities. Imagine that, things they were doing 20 years ago are now real today, right? Which means those things that we're telling you today are going to come true tomorrow, unless you act. So do share the programming around, make a donation, help us spread the word, okay, and put our footprint out there. If you have a business and you like to advertise, right, the number's right there. There's a one-click player on every page of the site, so even progressives can listen. Good stuff. You should check it out. And I'd love to have you on my mailing list. And you can do that by going to redpillpolitics.tv, subscribing there, checking out our other snarky musings and social media as it blinks on and off. We'll all be right there at the website for you to access. So do share that around as well. Phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. We're looking at the People's Republic of New York today. I'm going to go out on a limb here and make my prediction that New York, I think, is going to be the first city that slides into widespread unrest, civil unrest, where the rioting in the streets and the crime, it gets to the point where they just can't, they don't have the law enforcement to deal with it. The systems are breaking down. I would remind you, too, and I wish I had it up in front of me. I'd give you the exact number, but maybe this will tease you to go look it up and save that in your favorites folder right along with republicbroadcasting.org and redpillpolitics.tv. And that is the 45 goals of communism. Indeed, if you go and take a look there, you'll find that they come right out and say that they are going to substitute law enforcement for social workers. Now, I was just talking to a friend of mine who's law enforcement, and this came up. And I told him, I said, you watch, this is going to be the continued trend. It's already happening, but you're going to see it more and more, even here in the countryside. And I told him, I said, they're going to, you're going to get calls for domestic violence calls, domestic disputes, and they're not going to have you go out. All right? They're going to send a social worker to go up and gingerly tap on the door to see if maybe they might be able to mediate between a 220-pound guy beating the hell out of his wife and kids inside. Yeah, so you're going to have social workers and counselors responding to these calls where they say that, you know, mental health disorders and social issues like that, you know, they're just social issues of society, and social workers will deal with them. Yeah, that way they can quickly go in, you know, especially if there's kids involved in a family situation. The first thing they'll do is cleave off your children. They'll separate you from your children. Because they love you, you see, and love those little kids. We're going to get them vaccinated and get them in public re-education camps. It'll be wonderful. Yeah, so social workers will be out responding to that stuff. But again, you're getting rid of the cops. Remember the defund the police movement? All right, that was all very real, right in line with the 45 goals of communism. And it's amazing to go and read that. The first few, if you go down like the first 10, because this came out during, you know, in the middle of the Cold War, and the threat of global nuclear war was very real. So some of that is a bit antiquated in that the Cold War era part of it has played out. But the rest of them, you go and read it. There's something there for everybody. I don't care if you're, there's something there for everyone. It talks about infiltrating and taking over unions, not unlike the fire unions in New York City right now that are going to hunt down the people that booed Letitia James, like those unions. All right, they talk about infiltrating schools and putting the party line, and by party line, they mean Communist Party line, into the school material, into the curriculum. Comes right out and says it. It talks about taking over and infiltrating the press, scientific journals, periodicals, sensory overload, so that everything that you read and your senses absorb is communist slanted. It's all there. All right, go and read that and say, well, who controls the means of production? And that sounds an awful lot like the Green New Deal. Right. And you know, when government and private corporations control the means of government, the means of production, you know, these are, you know, this is communism and fascism. All right. The people themselves in a free market, you know, it's consumer driven. It's organic from the ground up, not the top down. So indeed, 45 goals of communism. I tell you, I should do that. I should work that into one of the shows, is to literally just go down through and read them and comment on each and every one of them. And I've done that before. Maybe I'm overdue. And people will be amazed. It's like stepping back in the time machine and saying, wow, man, yeah, that's here. Yeah, you'll recognize it. But it's happening in New York, and that's why it's in the condition it is. All right, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So what was the Big Apple? Right now, mass exodus out of that great city. It's imploding like a circus tent. And they're trying through tyrannical means to force compliance, to force you to stay there, to force you to think you like it. And the press is going to work with them. You know, all these truckers, they're, you know, you're racist, and that's, you know, you're facing threats of being charged with hate crimes right now, simply because you chose to take a load somewhere else instead of New York. Go ahead. You try that, Governor Hochul. Tish James, you go right ahead and you take that sharp stick and you jab those farmers. Right, you go after those fire and police. Keep it up. Keep it up. Because the day's going to come. And I'll tell you right now, a police officer or a fireman, they love their families too. And when you've caused such a festering shitstorm in that city that their families, while they're at work protecting everybody else, their families are vulnerable. It's constantly on their mind. Is my family safe? Are the roving gangs going to hit my neighborhood today while I'm at work? And you will push, and you will push, and unrest will continue to grow and swell. And then you're going to see them just say, you know, give them the finger. And I'll tell you what, if this was a government-created, self-created crisis, willfully done, I would drop my badge and protect my family. And I think that's what you're going to see. It's getting harder and harder. If you go around and actually ask and talk to people that are involved in law enforcement, it's getting very difficult to hire good policemen. Now, there's a lot of, you know, some young guys all roided up, fresh out of the academy, already targeted an enemy and ready and raring to go. There's a few of them dribbling out, but fewer and fewer are going into the academy. And I can't say as I blame them. Government's created an undoable situation. And most police, not all, you know, you got some of the blue cities that are, you know, they're just occupied territory. But by and large, most of your police and your sheriffs, they're against disarming the public. They know when seconds count, cops are minutes away. They know that if the dreck of society, the criminals out there, the illegal aliens, for example, they have no allegiance to you. They have no allegiance to your country. They have no allegiance to anything but themselves. And when they get here, many of them came from near the equator, trucked and trained and flown up here in the Northeast, where we have this thing called winter. Well, they're getting all butt hurt. And, you know, it's pretty damn cold up here. I want more. I want more. So you watch, mark my words, as the weather changes all winter long, by the tens of thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, these illegal aliens have been coming in to our country. They're stacking them in all kinds of facilities, not unlike what's happening in Roxbury. Here in Massachusetts, there was a community center paid for by the tax dollars here, the people in the Commonwealth, to build for a community center for the purposes of giving the kids and the youth a place to go. I mean, other than, you know, in the alley with the crackheads and the drug dealers and the prostitutes and the crime. Gangs. Yeah, parents actually had a place to bring their kids during the day to break that up, to keep them off the streets. So it became so unsightly at Logan Airport and places like Mass and Cass, where the government-created tent cities were just festering. Crime was too visible. So they kicked out all the people of Roxbury. Literally, if you're a single mom bringing your little girl in there thinking you're going to go in there for activities, you would be arrested. All right, a mom that lives the next block over, going to her own community center, would be arrested if they go on the property now. Why? Because it's a gated community of illegals. And this is happening in little pockets all over the place. They got them packed in all kinds of warehouses and FEMA centers and all kinds of crap. And when the weather breaks, do you think they're staying inside now? Because you go outside, you know, like freeze to death, right? So yeah, they're staying in there and staying warm, but they're getting angry, they're getting itchy. And when the weather breaks, they're going to be loose. They're going to be staring wherever the hell they want. That unsold vacant house on your street ain't going to be vacant for long. It ain't going to sell either. But it ain't going to be vacant for long. See what I mean? It's coming. It's coming. So, yeah, Letitia James, completely come unglued. You got the unions, though. I hope those firemen, all stick, dig their heels in. Dig their heels in and make them, what are they going to do? Seriously. Where Letitia James and the union thugs going to get together and go fire half of the fire department? Sure. Oh, yeah. That's going to do wonders for the safety of the people there in New York, isn't it? You're not going to just, train up and, train firemen. You don't just pull them out of your butt, So, yeah, go ahead. Fire half of them, dimwits. How many places are going to have to burn to the ground before they start scratching their heads? Oh, geez, well, you know what? Maybe we need firemen. The thing is, booing Letitia James is kind of milquetoast, if you ask me. What she should have been most concerned about is she's going to be arrested. Corruption and conspiracy are real things, Conspiracy is nothing more than two or more people colluding to commit a crime. Has Letitia James done that? Has she colluded with other people to maintain this narrative that she's involved in? I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes. What all these people are in higher position, our own governor here in Massachusetts, Governor Hochul in New York, have they violated Title 8, Section 1324? Have they in some way enticed illegals to come here, transported them, provided them shelter, knowingly employed them? I think so. I think they have. Because those things is a violation of federal law if you look at Title 8, Section 1324. So why isn't Letitia James more nervous about someone possibly doing a citizen's arrest on her ever-widening ass? That's what she should be nervous about, not that her little, some microaggressions on her little feelings are all hurt. No, she should be worried about being arrested. Support those firemen. Do I think they should be doing Trump chants and political chants at public events? Not necessarily, no. But calling her out and booing her and calling her out for the things that she did, for the laws that she broke, the Constitution she trashes. Every single one of them took an oath, too. I'm going to remind you of that. And I am an absolutist on this because I've had to do this, numerous times, 20 or more times. Every time that you get reelected to a position, I spent 17 years in local government. I worked for several municipalities as an agent of the Board of Health or whatever. And every single time, if you're elected into a government position like that, it is mandatory that not only you raise your right hand and swear an oath to the Constitution, but you have to sign an affidavit, a notarized affidavit, attesting to that. Or you can't sit down and vote. So, yeah, I took my oath seriously. So that at any point in time, should something come within my realm of jurisdiction, I felt obligated to oppose it if it ran contrary to the Constitution. That's why I do such a love-hate relationship between myself and the other people in town hall. There were like half the people hated my guts because I called this stuff out on a regular basis. They could almost count on it. There are times that they bring up something stupid in the board, if I was in the audience, would turn and look at me, waiting for knowing that I was going to comment. It was rather amusing. But you got to train them. You see, they're simple creatures. They are trainable if you work hard at it and you're committed. So half of them loved me, half of them hated me. But every single time, some, you know, Agenda 21 type of bureaucrat or nonprofit or NGO came in pretending that they were the good guy, offering in some off-the-shelf bylaw, some new policy that we could vote into place upon ourselves, grant money with all its tethers. I get up there and say, well, these are all the tethers and what they're tied to. I don't know if you like eminent domain, but, you know, it's in there. They could just take your property if they want. You might be opposed to paying higher taxes, but here, you see, if they institute this plan, you can count on only your taxes going up. And they didn't like hearing that. They don't want to talk about that. They only want to talk about their imagery. All right, because we get ourselves in a lot of trouble when we think we know what they're up to, and we're allowed to conjure up images of what we think they mean. And when we dig into the details of their writings and what they want, it's not what they were talking about. It's like globalization. They floated out such platitudes and generalities of what this great thing globalization was going to be, where the nations like would prance back and forth across the ocean sharing our commodities and services, and it would be great. Everything would be cheaper. There'd be such great variety. There'd be abundance everywhere. Everyone would have more money. No, that's not what happened. No, they allowed us to take our imaginations based on their little snippets, and we blew that all up into these things. So what is globalization? Well, we're finding out now. Globalization means, you know, you may not have a private car to drive. You might live in a city that doesn't allow you to leave its limits. Kind of like an open-air prison, kind of. You know, your globalization is eating crickets, not hamburgers. Did you think that? Those of you that are old enough to go back in the 70s and in the 80s when they started pumping us with all that globalization propaganda, did you actually envision you were going to be swapping a hamburger for a cricket burger? Unbelievable. But yet, here we are. Got another break coming up. It's top of the hour. This is Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Please hit that share button, and we'll be right back after a message or two. Stay with us, folks.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.